It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. If you thought it was supposed to be March today because yesterday was supposed to be the end of February, hang on, it's leap year. This quirk in the calendar gives us an extra day this month that comes around every 4 years, mostly. How do we celebrate? Mostly we don't, except in this 2012 scene from the TV show 30 Rock, where Tina Fey's lead character Liz Lemon finds her colleague celebrating at the feet of Leap Day William, or Jack McBriar as Kenneth the NBC page.
Why, Leap Day William is visiting.
Leap Day William?
Miss Lemon, did you not grow up with Leap Day William? He lives in the Mariana Trench. He emerges every 4 years to trade children's tears for candy.
What? No!
We'll find out how a few Wisconsin establishments are making the most of this extra day of 2024, and then we'll dig into the science behind the extra day. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is February 29th a special day to you or someone you know? Your birthday or your kid's birthday or anniversary? How do you handle only having that day come around every 4 years? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert DeAndrea is WPR's Lee Esther News Fellow. Robert, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, you found a few celebrations. They're few and far between, it looks like. We just heard that 30 Rock Leap Day episode. Art has become reality. Some places are actually having their Leap Day William celebrations.
Yes, well, this really, I fell into my lap yesterday when I was looking for things. I was not planning on this, but I'm a 30 Rock super fan, and I was really glad to find it. Leap Day is, I think, the most popular 30 Rock inspired holiday. You know, there's also Merlin Peen and Luda Christmas that happen around the solstice. There's the Valentine's Day alternative and a Howard Shaw Day, but really Leap Day is the 30 Rock holiday.
And you found a modern brewery owner building an event around that dozen-year-old TV episode.
Yes, he told me that he did it in 2020 as well and didn't actually let customers in on the joke, just showed up dressed as Leap Day William, everything decorated in yellow and blue and giving out candy. And I guess there were people who didn't really understand what was happening, but now that it's been 12 years, he felt the need to explain ahead of time.
And I'll let the listeners out there know that I did wear yellow and blue in celebration of Leap Day William. Now, another small business you wrote about, this is all at WPR.org, by the way, using the every 4 years angle to start a time capsule project. What's the story there?
Yeah, so the Crazy Dog Mom, which is in Stoughton, is a boutique for healthy pet treats and gimmicky t-shirts for pet owners. And they have a variety of dog-centric events for holidays you can bring your dog in to celebrate. So for Leap Day, a dog time capsule that would be put away for 4 years.
And what goes in a dog time capsule?
It could be any memento of a dog, acquiring a dog, a favorite toy perhaps, or the dogs can, as a part of this event, can make artwork that would go into the time capsule.
All right, and then from Stoughton over to Stockholm in Wisconsin, a small town lot going on there now, and they've got kind of a mysterious way to observe the rare day. What is planned there?
So the Humble Moon Saloon, this is actually going to be tomorrow, Friday night, but a masquerade ball themed around Leap Day. I understand you've been to this.
I've been to Stockholm. I've been to the Humble Moon. Yeah. So a masquerade party to celebrate the bonus day.
Yes.
And
take a leap.
And Robert, before we let you go, have you done anything special to observe Leap Day apart from reporting on all of this?
That really was the treat. that was me living and saving real life for March.
All right. Well, anybody out there who celebrates a Leap Day in a special way, let us know. You can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pass that along to Robert. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, that's Robert DeAndrea, WPR's Lee Esther News Fellow, looking at some of the ways people are celebrating Leap Day in Wisconsin. Now, why do we even have a leap day and year in the first place? Jim Lattice is with us, director of the UW Space Place. He's a faculty associate in astronomy with the UW College of Letters and Science. His expertise includes the history of astronomy and cosmology. Jim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Rob.
All right, so this is about space and science and the sun and the moon, right? Why do we end up having to tack on this extra day mostly every 4 years?
Yeah, well, you know, it's there is some astronomy in there, but it's almost just a matter of arithmetic. The problem, I was thinking about how to explain this most easily. You know, if it turns out that the time that it takes the Earth to go around the sun one time is not an even number of days. If it were 365 days, that would be handy, but it's actually more like 365 and a quarter. Suppose it was 365 and a half days. Then we could alternate. We could have 365 days in a year, and then the next year 366, and then go back to 365, and we would average then 365 and a half, and then we would match the period of the Earth's orbit. If we don't match the period of the Earth's orbit, then the seasons shift around in the calendar, and people have been uncomfortable with that for a long time. So it's just a trick. It's the question of getting that average right, and 365 days for 3 years and 366 for 1 year gets us pretty close, and that's the leap day. Pretty close, not exact.
And once upon a time, though, depending on whose calendar you're looking at, the calendar got out of sync, right? So February might be in the middle of the summer and not just feel like February is in the middle of the summer like it did 2 days
right,
ago.
Yes, our apparent February. No, the it never did drift quite that far, at least not in modern times, but it did drift. And so, right, the one leap year every fourth year, the extra day every fourth year, isn't quite right. And so that will drift actually a full day over about 130 years. So that's what was happening, because the Julian calendar, which does just that, the one leap year in every four common years, every three common years, that was established by essentially Julius Caesar in the Roman Empire, and they used that then right on up through right on up into the Middle Ages, and quite a few periods of 130 years passed by there. So they were about 10 days out. So the vernal equinox had slipped about 10 days by the time they were in the 1500s. And that's when people started saying, well, we got to do something about this.
And we skip some of the every 4 years, right? Is it every 100th year we don't leap day?
Right, because the once every 4 years is overcompensating just a little bit. So instead of a strict one every 4 years, we skip one leap year out of 100 years. So the easy way, the rule for this, and these rules are all nice and easy. It's interesting if you think about this. There's not really anything too complicated here. Every year that's divisible by 100, we skip that leap year. We don't have that leap year because it would be divisible by 4. So it would be a normal year by the simple rule, by the Julian rule. But then that turns out that compensates a little bit too much the other way. So there's another term in there, which is if the year is divisible by 400, that's a century year. But instead of skipping the leap year, we add it back in. So we're adding one every 4 years and then subtracting one every 100 years, then adding back in one every 400 years. And that gets us pretty close.
I think we've got a leap day celebrant on the phone now. Michael joins us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, happy leap day. Good Merlin peen to you. I know I'm off day, off calendar. I was originally calling just to say that I love 30 Rock and Leap Day William and was just happy to be hearing about it on WPR because I thoroughly confused my family with a Leap Day William gif this morning. But I do actually, now that the guest has changed, have a different question. I was wondering, do you happen to know, because I know the Mayans had some of the most accurate of ancient calendars and timekeeping, did they have a method for accounting for the fractional year length or do you know?
Interesting, Michael. I know you've tracked from the Romans kind of through our tradition. I don't know if you've looked at the Mayan calendar, Jim.
I can't say I know much about the Mayan calendar. Certainly, they were not using the Julian or Gregorian calendars.
Because no Julius or Gregory.
Right. And they were interested in other time periods. So we're focusing here. In fact, you could say the whole problem arises because we're focused on the seasons, because which stem from the equinoxes and solstices. And so we're concerned about keeping our day count linked to the seasons. What little I know about the Mayans is they were interested in other day counts. They might have been interested in the annual, the solar cycle day count, for all I know. But they were also very interested in things like day counts from one elongation of Venus to the next elongation of Venus and things like that. So you can choose whatever of these astronomical cycles that you think are important, and then you can try to adjust your day counts to try to match them if that's what you're going to be obsessed about. So we wouldn't worry too much about this if it wasn't that we are obsessed with keeping certain dates. Like, we wouldn't like it if Christmas falls in the summertime. We want to keep it where it is. So no, I don't know about the Mayans, I'm afraid, in any detail, but they did have similar problems, because none of these orbital periods and rotational periods and things like that are mutually commensurable. They're all totally inconvenient numbers.
Michael, thanks for the call. We're talking about the history and science of leap years and leap day, which is today. Jim Lattice stays with us, director of the UW Space Place. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about leap day, whys and wherefores, how it all fits together? Do you do anything special with that extra day of the year? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the history and science behind leap years and days. Jim Lattice is with us, director of the UW Space Place and faculty associate in astronomy with the UW College of Letters and Science. You can join in with your leap year related questions at 800-642-1234. So, Jim, you've mentioned the Gregorian calendar named after Pope Gregory. You sent us some notes here. Pope Gregory the 13th, as part of the plan to get that into place, they skipped days on the calendar. You went to bed, I think it was on October 4th, and woke up on October 15th.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, that's that drift that was not accounted for in the Julian calendar. And they saw, 10 days. Well, that's not going to put December. That's not going to put Christmas in the summer. But it's they saw the problem looming there. So that was their way of fixing this. There were other proposals, like maybe we ought to drop one day a year for a few years in a row. But they settled on. So there was the Pope formed a commission that was not just astronomers and technical experts, but was lawyers and theologians and people like that, trying to kick around all the implications of changing the calendar. And they seemed to have decided that the smoothest road to getting this to work was just to do it all at once. Just get it over, as you say, wake up on the 15th, and there you are.
Let's go back to our callers. Stephen is with us in Appleton. Stephen, hi.
Hi. I was wondering, when are we most accurate and on time? Like, if it's leap year day, what time or what year or what day can we, like, say we're exactly aligned with the clock? Like, I make a wish at 11:11, and I feel like I'm off now, and I'm wondering, what is the perfect time to make a wish?
Stephen, thanks for the call. This ends up being, I think, a philosophical question a little bit, Jim, but also, like, time is relative. It depends on what you're setting your clock by.
Well, so the only thing that we're trying to match up here on the calendar is the timing of the vernal equinox. Well, usually we use the vernal equinox. It could be any of those quarter days. But the vernal equinox will occur at some certain time on about March 21st. And the next common year will be off by about a quarter of a day, because we'll start counting again after 365, but the equinox will not quite have happened by 6 hours. And then the following year, 12 hours. The following year, 18 hours. The following year would be 24 hours, except then we say, oh, wait, let's throw in that other day in February, and now we match back up again. So it's only the only discrepancy that we're talking about here is between the calendar and the position of the Earth in its orbit at the vernal equinox. So your clock is not getting more or less accurate as we go through the year. You're measuring that with respect to the Earth's rotation, not with its orbit.
Thanks a lot for the question, Stephen. And speaking of keeping our clocks on pace, every now and then I see like an international group of astronomers and others adds or deducts leap seconds. How does that fit in?
Yeah, so that's a related approach. So what we call leap day is technically what we call an intercalary day. When we insert something into the calendar to manipulate it one way or the other, that's called intercalary. There are calendars with intercalary months. The Jewish ritual calendar inserts an extra month every so often to keep in sync with the seasons, even though that's a lunar calendar. Well, we intercalate in the Gregorian calendar. We intercalate a day. That's the leap day. So the Earth's the leap second isn't too closely related to that whole calendar mm-hmm. issue. But the Earth's rotation actually is not constant, occasionally there are not quite exactly the right number of seconds in a day. And if you let that accumulate, of course, eventually you'll get to a few seconds. But especially these days, those sorts of timekeeping problems in networks and things like that can have big consequences. Inserting the leap second there is a way of compensating for the actual irregularity of the Earth's rotation.
And just, we've got a few moments left, Jim. Switching topics here, big solar eclipse coming.
Right.
Pretty excited about that. Are you going to journey southward to catch the full show?
Yes, I hope to, although we will have events here in Madison where that's April 8th, in the afternoon of April 8th, and that eclipse will be total across a good bit of the United States, not here. It'll be a partial eclipse here. You'll need proper eclipse viewing glasses to watch that or observe it other safe ways. It'll be the last one that crosses the continental U.S. for about 20 years. So if you want to see the total eclipse, you'll have to drive to maybe Ohio or Indiana, somewhere like that.
Jim, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
That's Jim Lattice, director of the UW Space Place. He's a faculty associate in astronomy with UW College of Letters and Science. We talked to him today about why we observe a leap year and leap day in the first place.